Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Certified Advisory Corp is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements.
Stay tuned for On the Money, Central Florida's most listened to financial call-in show, brought to you by Certified Financial Group in Altamont Springs. It's the only show hosted exclusively by Certified Financial Planner Professionals. Monday through Friday, their CFPs provide financial planning and investment advice for a fee. But on Saturdays, the advice is absolutely free and has been for more than 30 years for their WDBO listeners. If you have a financial question you want answered by real fiduciaries, the lines are wide open. Call 844-580-WDBO. That's 844-580-WDBO. And enjoy the show.
Hey, happy Saturday, Central Florida, and welcome into another edition of On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group, right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. My name is Chris Crawford. I am here joined this morning by the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt, and Gary Abley. They are Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group, and if you want to get in touch with them right now, our phone lines are open, 844-580-WDBO. 844-580-9326. Financial Times calls them one of the top 300 firms in the country. And you've got express lines right into their offices right now at 844-580-WDBO. 844-580-9326. Joe and Gary, what kind of calls will you be fielding on the show today?
Well, Chris, Gary and I are here to answer any questions that our listeners might have regarding their personal finances. As we have been doing now for more than 30 years, we are here to take your questions, things that are on your mind regarding your personal finances. As I say, we go through life trying some of this, trying some of that, wake up at 55 years old and find out what we're looking at is a collection of financial accidents. And our job is to be your financial body shop this morning, to get you on the road, get out that bondo and fix you up. Because they don't teach you about this stuff in school, you know, and we sometimes make decisions that aren't necessarily the best for you. We have people that have come in to see us that have been some of these free lunch and dinner seminars. They bought this thing. They're not quite sure what it is, but it's supposed to fix everything, and they're finding out it's not fixing anything. So we're here to help you out. Certified Financial Planners, we do financial planning and investment advice for a fee on Monday through Friday. But as the intro says, we are here absolutely free for you. So if you have any questions regarding things that might be on your mind, things you're trying to make decisions on, your 401k, your IRA, about a reverse mortgage, about mutual funds, about life insurance, annuities, long-term health care, all that and more, Gary and I are here to take your calls. And the good news for you is the lines are absolutely wide open, and you can jump right to the front of the line because there is no line. You can make the line, as a matter of fact. So make the line, pick the phone, and dial these numbers.
844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. 844-580-WDBO. And reminder, you can also hit us up on the open mic feature in the WDBO app. Just open up the WDBO app, click the open mic feature, leave us a brief voicemail. We'll play it live on air. But again, the easiest way is through those express lines, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. And while we get those calls lined up and you get the show rolling, what do you say we start with a topic of what to expect for the market returns over the next decade?
Well, Gary's going to get out his crystal ball here.
Well, I'm with a little help from Vanguard, too. Okay. So what I'd like to do is just share, because a lot of our clients, after experiencing some very good returns during a very crazy time, may have some unrealistic expectation, and I'm sure some of our listeners might as well. So Vanguard puts out a nice piece. It's called Market Perspectives, and they give their estimates, if you will, for the next decade on various asset classes. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting.
Wait, before you go any further, let's talk about what is an asset class for those people that may have never tuned into a financial show before and say, what's an asset class?
Sure. So an asset class would be a type of asset, for example, real estate, maybe a bond, a stock. And then within those asset classes, you have different types, right? You have large stocks, medium-sized stocks, small stocks. You have some that are growth-oriented, like the Amazons, the Apples, the Microsoft. You have some that are value-oriented, like the Pepsis and the Johnson & Johnsons, et cetera. So we have all these assets, and of course what we do for clients is diversify among those assets.
Right.
So that we don't get a bad outcome, right, if we have everybody in one asset class that didn't do well.
Yes.
For example, real estate last year.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking beforehand, real estate, I believe, was the worst asset
performing.
Class, worst performing for this past year. So looking forward, getting out that crystal ball, we know looking at the actual price-earnings ratio for the Standard & Poor's 500 Index, this is going backwards for a year, we're trading around 44 times what the underlying companies earn in 1 year.
Wow.
Now, you remember, it also is around 44 times at the peak of the dot-com. However, we don't talk about the actual P.E. ratio, right? We only talk about forward-looking. So if you listen to CNBC or you read the Wall Street Journal, you're going to see a number around 23, 24.
It's still high.
Well, that's
still
right.
Still high by normal standards.
Yeah, and the normal standard, of course, the 150-year average is about 16. That's the mean for that. So we're still about 40% or so higher than the mean, even if we hit our target for this year. So because of that, because we're coming from a position of high market values based on historical metrics, Vanguard is only expecting equities, U.S. equities, to return about 4.7%. Now, here's the interesting part.
Tell me more.
Yes, I will. Growth stocks are projected to earn around 1.1 to 3.1% on average over the next decade.
So, hold on there, financial planning breath.
All right.
What are we talking about? Now, let's define growth stocks for our listeners.
All right. So growth stocks can be defined by a number of different metrics, but these are typically ones that are growing their revenue and their profits generally.
Such as
an Amazon, a Netflix, Google, Facebook.
You got it. Bingo.
Tesla.
Right. All the ones that have been making the headlines.
Well, that's right. And it's important for those of our listeners that have index funds out there. A lot of people don't know the concentration risk in those funds right now. For example, you're going to have 6% of your assets in one company named Apple, about 5% in another company named Microsoft. Now, you might like those names. But those names
You like it when they're doing well.
When they're doing well.
That's right.
But, you know, they're all trading at 35-plus times earnings on a year that was really great for those earnings. So on the value side, they have a range of 4.8 to 6.8%. And, again, overall 3.7 to 5.7% annualized returns. Now, what's kind of really sobering, talking about asset classes, is when we look at the other side, the fixed income side.
Hang on.
Yeah, and this is something we're talking a lot about in our office. You know, what kind of solutions can we have over this next decade?
And you want to have fixed income.
Well, you do, because as you like to say, and I agree, it's a shock absorber to the portfolio. You want a safe bucket of money you can use to rebalance your clients when equities are dropping.
Exactly.
And by rebalancing, we simply mean if your equities target was, say, 50-50, and equities drop by 10%, you're no longer 50-50, you're probably 45-55.
Yep.
So we would use some of that safe bucket of money, the bonds, to sell and buy equities to bring you back up to 50-50. So for fixed income, the range is 0.7 to 1.7%. So I'm going to use the midpoint and say maybe 1.2% is their forecast.
And the real driver behind that is simply because rising interest rates.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
So, you know, we're told that interest rates will stay fairly static over the next few years. But there's one direction, and that's up.
That's correct.
Right. And
that
means bond prices drop.
Yep.
And we don't want losses.
Right.
So
it's a challenge that we have
is
diversification. You have to have the fixed income in your portfolio as the shock absorber, the ballast, if you will. Because you're going to have those times when you have 25, 30% market corrections. And if you're totally in the market, you've got a 30% loss and it takes about a 45% gain to get you back to where you started. So you want to avoid those at all expense. So that's the beauty of a diversified portfolio. When the market's doing well, if you have diversification, you're not going to be roaring. You know, you're not going to be going to the cocktail party to be bragging about your portfolio simply because you're being smart and you're diversified.
Well, that's exactly right. And what I jokingly say to clients is if your portfolio performance is among the top two in the asset classes, you should fire me.
Exactly.
Because I didn't have you diversified.
Exactly.
And if it's in the bottom two, you should also fire me because I didn't have you diversified.
That's correct.
So
yeah, we're not trying to hit home runs.
No.
Single and doubles will get you there, and that's what we try to do. I see we have a call here, Chris.
Yes, we do. We've got Julie. She's calling in from Orlando. And if you want to call in just like Julie, the phone lines are open, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. Julie.
Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Well, I had a quick question. So I'm most of my savings is in ETFs and very diversified, as you were discussing. But I've had a little stash, probably 9% of my total, my total savings portfolio that has been in a stock that's been kind of volatile. It's home building. So it's up right now, and I just feel like I should go ahead and sell that. And I've sold some, I've set a price and I've sold some of it. But my question is this, instead of just sticking it into the existing ETFs, I'm looking and wondering if I should put it in, just a few, just five or so, just blue chip, dividend type stocks, J&J or AT&T, Verizon, those type of things. I've got a whole list that are, dividend producing, solid companies that whether or not the market goes up or down, the companies are going to be there. And what's your thought on that, taking a small percentage and not putting it just into the ETF?
Well, let me stop you right there. First of all, you said that no matter what the markets do, they will always be there. Can you say Sears? Can you say Eastman Kodak?
Oh, no.
Okay, and that's the challenge that you have in picking individual stocks. It sounds to me like you enjoy that stuff, right?
Well, I'm a kind of a. My background is in research in general.
Sure,
so,
sure.
So yeah, fine. I do my due diligence.
That's fine. So getting back to your question about, I think you really have a question about diversification. So you have some money in the home building stock.
About 9%.
Right.
Yep. It's an individual. That's a pretty heavy concentration.
Heavy concentration. Right.
So you probably have done well simply because assuming it's a good company, you've right. probably done right. well in the current market.
It's growing.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yes. And the near outlook for that is continuing to do that as long as interest rates are low.
Right.
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 Yes. So mm-hmm. the challenge you have is, should you take your gains, what you have now, and be a little bit more prudent and get some more diversification? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a saying in the business that the bears will make money, the bulls will make money, but the hogs will get slaughtered. And you don't want to be a hog.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
what would you suggest if Julie was sitting across the desk from you this morning in our office up in Altamont Springs, and she's asking you this question, Gary?
So, Julie, what we would do, we use some software by Morningstar, and I would want to enter in your portfolio because you've mentioned some good names, Johnson & Johnson, Verizon, et cetera. And if you were, say, moving 9% of your portfolio maybe to five or six stocks and you had 1.5% in each stock, I would think that that's okay as long as you're a moderate risk-oriented investor or moderately aggressive investor. I think those would be a reasonable move. I definitely think you should move away from the home building stock only because of the large amount. Now, maybe you keep 1.5% in it. But in general, when okay. we build portfolios and we look at the underlying holdings of the exchange-traded funds, the ETFs, or the mutual funds, I don't like a client to be more than 1.5% or definitely no more than 2% in any one specific company. So I like your okay. thought process there. But the reason we would put your portfolio into software is we want to make sure we don't have concentration risk in any one particular industry.
Julie, we want you to hang on. We're up against a break, but I want to continue this conversation.
Yes,
if you can hang
question.
On. Yep.
Yeah, sit tight here, Julie. We'll come right back to you. And if you want to call in, phone line's still open, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
For the Certified Financial Group on WDBO. Welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Orlando's news and talk round of Financial Times calls them one of the top 300 firms in the country. And you've got open phone lines to them right now at 844-580-9326. 844-580-WDBO. Back over to Joe and Gary.
Hi, Julie. Thanks for hanging on, by the way. Let's kind of recap for some listeners who may have just joined the program here. Why don't you kind of restate what your situation is about how much you have in the home building stock and what you're doing?
So 10% of my total savings portfolio is in one particular home building stock. And so I'm selling some of that. I've already sold some of it in the last couple of weeks because the stock is up. But I understand that's also volatile. It's going to do well as long as the interest rates are low, but I've also seen it dip drastically, back in 2010 and all of that good stuff. And I'm sure that won't hopefully ever happen again. But still, I'm looking at moving most of that stock. And my question is this, do I stick it in the existing ETFs?
How many ETFs do you have? How many ETFs do you have?
Well, I have three main funds, and then within those funds, it's, I leave that with a financial planner, very reputable, and it's just, so it's in multiple things. When I look at the actual stock and break it down, it's what you're discussing. It's, it's your FANG stocks, but it's also safer stuff, and then a very, very small percent diversified into bonds, just that safety net in a portfolio. But my question is, I'm kind of really leaning towards, and I'm wondering if it's wise or not, to take what those existing home building stocks and the money that I've sold, and the more of it that I want to sell, to take that and put in, I'm looking at maybe five different dividend, large cap companies, such as I mentioned, J&J, Verizon, AT&T. I've got, a whole list of just dividend producing companies. So what's your thought on that? Or would you say no, put it into your existing portfolio?
Okay, first question I'd want to know is, on this home building stock that you have this profit in, is it long-term or short-term gains?
Have you held it for at least 1 year?
No, but that's not really a concern with the way it
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It is a big concern. It's a huge concern.
For taxes.
Yes, for taxes. Right. So what you want to look at is your acquisition date on this, and you may be very close to locking in long-term gains, which is a heck of a lot better than short-term gains in terms of taxation. And there goes a good portion of your profit if you have to go out the window in taxes. So that being aside, let's assume that the tax situation is right. What do we want to know about Julie?
Well, we want to know your age. We want to know how close you are to retirement. We want to know, you mentioned you have a small percentage in bonds. So we would want to know, what your risk tolerance is. Are you currently invested? We keep mentioning stocks and only a small percentage in bonds. And I want to know, are you invested based on your comfort with the risk level that you're currently taking? And, you mentioned you have...
How far are you away from retirement?
I'm probably 17 years from retirement.
Okay,
and
good.
And I feel like the funds are very well diversified.
Sure,
and
sure.
Moderate risk.
Okay. All right. So the question is bottom line question is should you sell some of that home? I would if it's long term gains, or I probably wait to. I don't see, based on what interest rates are doing, there's not going to shouldn't be a big drop in the housing market to get you through the long term gain situation.
No, but I would mention something very quickly. Sometimes in a stable stock, the cost to buy a put option, this is a little complicated, it might be very minimal to get you to where you can solidify that gain, lock in that gain, and we can talk about this maybe after break,
right?
So that you ensure you get long-term capital gain, because that might be half the taxes.
Julie, we'll be back.
That's right, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
In the Certified Financial Group on WDBO.
Welcome back to On the Money, Central Florida's most listened to financial call-in show, brought to you by Certified Financial Group in Altamont Springs. It's the only show hosted exclusively by certified financial planner professionals. Monday through Friday, their CFPs provide financial planning and investment advice for a fee. But on Saturdays, the advice is absolutely free and has been for more than 30 years for their WDBO listeners. If you have a financial question you want answered by real fiduciaries, the lines are wide open. Call 844-580-WDBO. That's 844-580-WDBO. And enjoy the rest of the show.
You're listening to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. We got open lines, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. You can also hit us up on the open mic feature in the WDBO app. Just click up the app, click the open mic feature, and send us a brief voicemail there. We'll play those live on air. But again, the easiest way, just do those phone lines, 844-580-9326. Gary Abley and Joe Burt are both certified financial planner professionals at the Certified Financial Group. And while we still have Julie on the line here, before we jump back to her, let's talk briefly here about Score My Funds, because I think this is something.
And I also want to mention that either Chris Toadvine or Rodney Ownby are taking calls off the air this morning. So if you have a detailed question or can't get in this morning, you can reach them right now at 407-869-9800, 407-869-9800, or 1-800-EXECUTES if you're executing a legal document. And if the line is busy, please leave a message and they promise to call you back. Both of them are also certified financial planner professionals. Chris has an MBA in financial planning, and Rodney is a CPA in addition to being a CFP, part of the Certified Financial Group team. So they are there, and we want to get back to – oh, we want to talk about Score My Funds.
Right, and thank you, Julie, for hanging on. You have the patience of Job. regarding Score My Funds, this is a service we're offering. And, Julie, I think you mentioned that the predominant amount of money – that you have invested in addition to the home building stock were three ETFs. And what we offer is a service to score either mutual funds or exchange traded funds. And the scoring works pretty easy. It's a score of 0 is the best score, 100 is the worst. So think golf, the lower the number, the better. And it's based on 11 fiduciary criteria, such as 1 year, 3 year, 5 year return compared to their peer group. And so sometimes, and we see this often, because we're getting a lot of these requests, I mean, many, many, many a week from listeners. And what we'll see is the person is happy with their portfolio because they're getting what they feel are good returns. Mm-hmm. Here's a good example. And I don't know if I should mention a specific fund.
Go ahead.
All right, Fidelity Contra Fund.
Oh, you should have mentioned that.
So anyway, it has had a history of being a wonderful, wonderful fund, mm-hmm. but right now the score has drifted. Mm-hmm. And there are other Fidelity large cap growth funds like the Fidelity Growth Fund or Fidelity Blue Chip Growth, Fidelity OTC. There are better funds. You know, some of these have done over 60% in the mm-hmm. last, you know, the 1 year ended December. Versus 30-something for low 30s, I believe, for the Contra Fund. So everything's relative. And so sometimes we think we're doing well, but yet we're not really comparing our fund to its peer group, and that's exactly what this scoring does, and we offer that as a free service.
Yes. So once again, if you have any interest in getting your funds or ETF scored, whether you own them individually or in your 401k or IRA, simply go to scoremyfunds.com. scoremyfunds.com. You put in the tickers and we'll shoot you back a report. And if you don't know the tickers, there is a pull down menu that will give you the tickers. All you have to do is put in the fund name and it'll give you the ticker. So you're welcome to do that. It's absolutely free. And just go to scoremyfunds.com. And what we're finding, Gary, on the Score My Funds, there's another part. In fact, it's more important than the funds that you own.
Well, right. The allocation. So, exactly. You know, we just, I just had one that came over. And we noted that 45%, I think there were about 8 funds, but when we put them into something that looks at the underlying stocks, we found that 45% of their holdings were in the mid-cap space. And mid-cap funds represent about 16% currently of the overall market. It ranges, right, mm-hmm. depending on market conditions. You know, small caps usually around 5 or 6%, mid-caps somewhere in that 10 to 16%. But to put, you know, over 40% in that one asset category is probably not a good idea, right? There's a higher standard deviation and beta typically for the smaller companies, so a higher risk and volatility. And so it's in addition to looking at the scoring of the funds, we look at where those overall assets are allocated to. You know, does right. somebody have 20% in real estate when real estate's only about 3% of the overall market? Well, that's really taking a gamble. You know, do they have 40% in technology when technology is half of that? Right. Mm-hmm. So those are the things we do. I know we've got three callers waiting, but Julie, thank you so much. We'd be happy to score your three ETFs if you like. Just hold it back.
Uh-huh. That's great. Really, my question just boiled down to whether or not it your view on keeping a very small percentage of the portfolio in just a dividend producing stock, but thank you very much for your time. I don't feel like I got any real direct answer.
Yeah, so let me clarify. Let me clarify for you and for our listeners. We really have to know more details sometimes to give a specific answer. The companies that you mentioned, Julie, I think are wonderful companies. And I, again, be putting 1 to 1.5% in each of those companies, I think, is a fine option for you because you are, as you've described yourself, a moderate investor. So I don't think we have any complaints with that idea.
But look at the tax situation. Try yes. to lock in the gains or put an option on it to protect your gains. So that's
exactly.
Talk to your advisor about that as well. Julie, we really appreciate
Thank you
the
for
call.
Hanging on.
Thanks for
yep.
hanging in. Okay, Chris. And Chris is taking a call. We can tell by the board.
No, we can roll right along.
Okay.
We've got
All
Kathy
right.
calling in from Kissimmee now.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello,
Good
Kathy.
Morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
I have a question about some commercials I've heard on the radio. They are targeted toward retirement savings, and they say that they need to be protected from taxes. They mention RMDs. They're going to reduce or eliminate RMDs. And they, I don't know, they say you can do this either when you're in retirement, which is where I am,
sure.
or you can do it before you get to retirement.
Sounds great, doesn't it? Eliminate
yeah.
taxes, stop the RMDs, protect your assets when the market goes down. You don't lose anything. Market goes up, you get everything. Right? That's what the pitch is.
And they don't know what it is.
Yeah, so it's an insurance policy.
Right, it's an insurance.
Yeah, it's an insurance policy. It's a fancy way to sell you insurance. And believe me, we've seen some real disasters walk into our office. In fact, I'm meeting with a couple next week that was seduced into this kind of situation a few years ago, and they're suing the broker that sold it. You want to stay away from that stuff. It sounds too good to be true. It is. What they want you to do is cash out your
retirement plan.
They'll cash out your retirement plan, pay the taxes, and then they'll tell you going forward you'll be able to save all this money because you won't be paying any taxes, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Right.
But it's a great way to sell insurance. It pays great commissions, and that's how you can afford to put these commercials on the air.
Right.
Yes. So you want my bottom line? Stay away from it. Pardon me?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, good call
well,
thank
there. Thank you, Kathy.
Again, you can keep calling in, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO.
You know, Chris, while we're on that, I want to – something that's really been bugging me. In fact, I'm going to – driving here this morning, I was thinking about doing a commercial about the F word. You know, you listen to radio call-in shows or radio programs on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, here on DBO or other radio stations around town, and I do because I want to hear what's out there. And the F word, the fiduciary word, is one that's used by everybody today. It's the new buzzword. And frankly, there is no license to be a fiduciary.
There's no police.
There's no police.
Right.
You
right.
can call yourself a fiduciary, say you're a fiduciary till the cows come home. I'm fiduciary, yada, 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 yada. And it's being used as a seductive method, if you will, mm-hmm. to lure people in your office to think that they really are fiduciaries. And only certified financial planners are required by our licensing to serve you as a fiduciary. And a certified financial group, we put it in writing that we will work with you as a fiduciary, which means we're working on your behalf. So unfortunately, today, everybody's throwing around that F word because it's the new buzzword in the industry. And I'm going to do a commercial about the F word. I've been thinking about that. Yeah, I really think, unfortunately, like this lady here, we see this an awful lot. And it breaks our heart to see what happens to some of these people. They give their life savings to these folks out there that...
They cash in on a lump sum, plan. They get bumped up into a higher bracket. Sometimes we've even seen this when people aren't even 59 and a half and they're paying a penalty.
Yes.
To put it into a product that has high commission, high surrender charges. Yeah. Just not...
You cash out that retirement plan, that IRA, you're bumped into a higher bracket, and all of a sudden now your Social Security subject taxation, your Medicare premiums going through the roof.
Yeah, it has a lot of... tentacles.
Anyway, get up my soapbox here. I get me fired up. All right, Chris, let's take a call.
All right, let's go ahead. Actually, let's hit the three big things we need to know right here. And then
all right,
we'll
do
back.
That too. All right.
All right, 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With a certified financial group on WDBO.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her head.
Welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Orlando's News and Talk, 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. We've got Lydia, who's been holding on for a minute here. Let's go back to these phone lines here. And
good morning, Lydia.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Wonderful.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, I just had a quick question. We have a new grandson that we're very proud of, and we want to contribute to the 529 program. My question is, the other grandparents who are from Minnesota have already set one up. Is there any advantage to us setting our own up, or is there just contribute to what they already have?
Well, I would want to look at what they have. So there's a great website called Saving for College, and if you click on, there's a link there for 529 plans, and it'll drop down and give you a caps and gowns rating, kind of similar to a Morningstar star rating. Mm-hmm. So five caps and gowns would be a great fund, and it has a resident rating and a non-resident rating. So they may have purchased a particular 529 plan because it made sense for state income taxes if they happen to live in a state that does have state income taxes. But for the Florida residents, you can really pick any plan out there. There's a couple I like that I'd like to share. The New York one, which you could buy direct. You don't need to go through an advisor. It's run by, it's called the Direct Program through Vanguard. And it's receives the highest rating. And there are some great portfolios that you can choose there. But Fidelity also has one that I did with my daughters, which links up to a Fidelity credit card, which 2%...
Get cash back.
Exactly. Not so much cash back, but 2%...
Oh, back into the fund.
Yeah, back into the 529 plan.
Well, it's cash back. Back into the fund.
Right, exactly. So, we have not contributed to the 529 plan with our money, but just using the points. And, after doing that for 20 plus years, there's a sizable amount in there that we can use then for their education. Now, the nice thing about that, I believe there's a limit that you can get $1,200 per credit card, but there's no limit on the number of people who can use the card and list the particular child to receive those dollars. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you have eight family members, instead of getting, plush toys and things that the kids don't really need, if they all just use this no-fee credit card, then that money can go into that account. And there's another good retail Fidelity 529 plan out of Arizona that we've been suggesting clients look at that as well, that they can link the credit card to. So if you have questions, just give us a holler on Tuesday, because we won't be in on Monday, because that's a President's Day and the markets are closed. But by all means, we can help share some links where you can get set up.
Lydia, are the grandchildren in Florida?
No, they are not, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. All right.
And, of course, that doesn't matter.
But, they are.
But
yeah.
I think Joe was going to talk about the prepaid.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, and I'll just piggyback on that. So what we did for our daughters is we bought the Florida prepaid. We established a 529 plan, and then we also bought individual mutual funds, thinking we would need some extra help if they went out of state, which in fact they did.
Right. What I recommend to many of my clients is use the Florida prepay as kind of the foundation. You know, you could do the 2-year, 4-year. You can get really fancy if you want, but use that as a foundation because you're locking in the future cost, and then maybe do the 529 on top of that, like Gary's suggesting.
Right.
So it depends on whether children are here. And the nice thing about Florida prepaid, you don't have to use it in Florida.
Right.
You get the best bang for the buck if
that's
you do
right.
use it in Florida, but
yes.
you can take that
right.
those tuition dollars and take it out of state. So that's a pretty good deal
actually,
as well.
We had that for our son.
Oh,
yeah,
there
we
you
did
go.
Have that for our son, which is nice to have.
And that worked out pretty well.
Ended up going to the,
yep.
It did.
There you go.
It
there
did.
You go. Okay. Yep. Lydia, thanks
Thank
for the call.
Thank you for
okay.
calling, Lydia.
Chris, I want to go back to the Score My Funds. I don't think I mentioned this when we were talking about this earlier. For those listeners who just might have tuned in, the Score My Funds is an opportunity for you to get your mutual funds and ETF scored on 11 different distinct points that we provide to our clients on a regular basis. This is how we select the investments that we use for our clients and no-load mutual funds and ETFs, and how we monitor them to be sure that you always have quality in your portfolio. And we'll provide this report to you absolutely free. Just go to scoremyfunds.com. And what we're going to do for those listeners that have already submitted their Score My Funds, we're going to send you the next step to allow you to see really what your own investment style is, investment objective is. It's a what we call a risk tolerance questionnaire. It's a series of questions. There's no right or wrong answers. You simply score, check the box, whatever applies to you. There's and answer. Don't try to overanalyze it. And it'll tell you, based on your time horizon, when do you expect to start withdrawing and over how many years will you withdraw? And then what's your personal attitude about risk versus reward? It'll ask you a question. If this happens, what would you do? If that happens, what would you do? And that's a good indicator as to where you really are in terms of your own risk tolerance and gut and tolerance for being invested.
Exactly.
And I think what we're going to find, based on some of the stuff we've seen, many people are more aggressive than their real risk tolerance is.
Yes, people and tend to be more aggressive while markets are going
up. When markets are good,
right.
And those are the funds, those are the folks that are going to be licking their wounds when that inevitable day comes, and they come,
right.
And they'll be working yourself out of a hole. So we're going to send this to all of our clients. I think you'll enjoy it, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have about that. So if you want more information about Score My Funds, once again, go to scoremyfunds.com. scoremyfunds.com. Put in your ticker symbols, which is the 5-letter or 3-letter indicator for that specific investment. And if you don't know it, there is a pull-down menu that you can plug that in, and we'll be glad to send it to you. It's absolutely free. If you have any questions about that as well, you can talk to Rodney Ownby right now, who's in our offices. He'll be glad to answer your questions about that. And also the annuity bailout program that we're doing. Gary, what's that about?
So the annuity bailout program, you're going to have to describe a little bit.
Well, it's where we're looking at your old annuities that you may have bought in years
okay.
past.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, I just didn't know the term.
All well, right. We change it from week to week.
Yes, right.
Stay tuned.
Got to stay tuned. All right, so we have a...
Annuity rescue.
Okay. So we can look at your annuity and see, you know, oftentimes people have an annuity that they have a low basis and low cost in, and if they were to sell it, you know, they're going to have to pay a lot of taxes. So is there another annuity option that would be a better option or a different option altogether?
A no-commission annuity, a no-load right. annuity, something
no-load.
That give you a better yes. return and give you more flexibility.
Yep.
So that is it.
All right.
And I hear the music, Chris, so that wraps up the show.
Yes, sir. Another fantastic show from you guys today. We'll be back same time, same place next week. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
For the Certified Financial Group on WDBO.